KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akkwan. The Tliné Di have stewarded this area for thousands of years. The tidelands where our studios sit are now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots, but they were once a source of food, a place to maintain smokehouses, and a place to gather driftwood for fuel. In sharing this history, KTOO hopes to honor the ancestors and the descendants of the Akkwan. We realize those families who have never relinquished their ownership and stewardship of their land and waterways and continue to cherish and depend upon their immediate connection to the waterfront for today and for future generations. We'd also like to take a moment to say thank you to the individuals who helped us craft our daily land acknowledgement. Gnoschish to Vera Starboard, who planted the idea of making it super place specific and guided us on pronunciation. Lillian Peter Shore, who created so much of the beautiful structure. Ishmael Hope, who gave additional ideas, and Ernestine Hayes, Bob Sam, and Fran Houston, who gave important feedback. We are grateful to all those offering guidance as we grow as an organization. This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Our next guest follows the labor market in Alaska, and one of her specialties is tracking the salaries of women, which continue to lag behind those of her male counterparts. The question of why has been analyzed by some of the greatest minds of our time.
Generations of Americans, and since children are our future, according to the song anyway, I thought it would be a good idea to get their take on it. So we went out on the street, we asked kids to explain why they think women get paid less than men, and this is what they had to say.
Why do you think women get paid less than men for the same jobs?
Girls don't work as hard as the boys.
What are they doing instead of working hard?
Doing other stuff.
Like what kind of other stuff?
Texting and running on the track.
Why do you think that women get paid less than men?
Maybe women aren't acting as they should. Maybe they're acting weird, so people think that they shouldn't be treated as fairly as men would be.
How come the women make less money than men?
Because probably some women in California don't really have jobs.
Why do you think that women make less money than men?
I think these are very underrated because they can do more, but people expect them to do less.
What kind of more can they do?
Well, a lot of people underestimate them, and they could do so much more. There's jobs that men can't do that women can.
Like what?
Like, they can be an actress if they want.
And a man can't be an actress.
Well, they can do whatever their heart tells them to do.
How come the woman gets paid less?
I think that's a good place to stop it. Karina, welcome, and thank you for providing that comedy clip. I know the wage gap is no laughing matter, but I think the point of that is the fact that it's even a thing is laughable, right?
Absolutely, and I appreciate Jimmy Kimmel and other comedians for taking a stab at it, because as we know, comedy is kind of one of those things that can take a subject that's very serious and even problematic and make it accessible. You know, the first thing that we need to do is to be able to look at something, and sometimes the way to look at it is to start by laughing. So thank you guys. Thank you, comedians, for your service.
Well, all jokes aside, the gender wage gap is at the heart of what you study for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Would you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do?
Sure. My name is Karina Wiebold, and I'm an economist with the Department of Labor. I have been with the research and analysis section for 10 years now. And one of the primary things that I do now is study Alaska's labor market. So I pay attention to jobs and wages, both for the state as a whole, particular industries, looking at occupations. But in this case, I spent a fair amount of time looking at the difference between men and women's wages and occupational selections.
Right. And you wrote about that in an article for Trends Magazine. Can you tell us a little bit about Trends Magazine, where we might be able to find a copy or read it online?
Trends is, the full name is Alaska Economic Trends, and that is our monthly magazine. It's put out by the Research and Analysis section of the Department of Labor, and it is available both in hard copy if you sign up, and I think there's a small subscription to pay for that, or you can receive it electronically on a monthly basis, or you could just go to our website, which is laborstats.alaska.gov. And the trends page is right there on the front. So go ahead and look at it there.
Your most recent article in Trends Magazine is titled The Gender Wage Gap in 2019. And it made me pretty mad when I read it. Was that the intended effect?
The intended effect was never to incite people to anger, but maybe more to thoughtfulness.
So to be clear, it wasn't because of the writing, it was the data that was presented. Women here in Alaska making only 72 cents on the dollar compared to our male counterparts, and it's actually considered an improvement, right?
It is, and that's a really solid point. We actually started, when we started looking at this data kind of back in the 90s, women were making something closer to 62 cents on the dollar. And that hasn't really increased a whole lot over the last couple of decades. In fact, you know, we had some slight improvements and then it kind of stayed at 65% to 68% throughout the mid-2000s. So this recent jump to 72 cents on the dollar is actually a pretty good improvement over where we've been historically and a fairly recent change.
Now, in your article, you've sliced and diced the data in all kinds of ways, by industry, by region, by age, by education. What are you looking for when you break it down like that?
I think that because we know that there is a wage gap in general, macroscopically at the biggest picture, what we are looking for when we slice and dice is exceptions to that wage gap, places where maybe women are not making less than men or the representation is more equal. So that's definitely something we're looking for there. The other thing that we're looking for as we play with the data is teasing out reasons why there might be a gender wage gap. A lot of the sociological reasons behind men and women's wages having a bit of a difference is outside of the scope of this article, though. There's been a lot of other national sociological studies that look at reasons why that might be. We have everything from education, experience, time on the job, occupational selection, and historic and current sexism are all components of the wage gap. So there's a lot to test out there. But what we're trying to do as we look at this wage gap for Alaska specifically and from such a variety of lenses is to get a sense of how pervasive that wage gap is and also to get information out to folks who might not believe that this is something that we're still grappling with and let them know that it truly is and it doesn't matter so much how you look at it, what level you look at it, it's very pervasive.
So is it fair to say that women like you and me working here in Alaska, you in state government and me in, I guess, what's kind of considered the other category of the pie chart, but both of us in the prime of our careers and our main money-making years, we're both making less than men who hold similar or the exact same jobs? Or is that an oversimplification?
It's a bit of an oversimplification. When you take everybody and can start to aggregate it, that's when we start to see the data results. But when you like use me for an example, I work for state government, and state government and local and federal government too has really structured salary ranges and a way to work through those. And so they've really done a lot to eliminate the wage gap by having such structured wages that are pretty much applicable regardless of your gender. So in that way, no, I would be paid on paper the same as a male counterpart for sure. But what we need to do, particularly for like my case, is to step back a little bit and say, okay, I'm being paid the same as a man in exactly the same role. But within our organization, why are there so many more men than women? And even more specifically, in my group, I'm part of the management team. There are four of us, and I'm the only woman. That's a fairly low representation, considering that women are nearly 50% of our overall workforce.
What does your research tell us about the big picture of the state economy?
Well, it tells us a couple of things. One of the things that's very interesting about this recent research is what we talked about just a minute ago when we said that the 72 cents on a dollar is actually a pretty big improvement. So what happened there is that we had the state recession in these times in between, from 2015 to 2018. And COVID's been so big on everybody's horizon that it's hard to sometimes to think back a little bit farther. But our recession cost nearly 11,000 Alaskans to lose a job between 2015 and 18. And two-thirds of those Alaskans were men. And those men were predominantly working in industries that pay men well. So oil and gas, construction, and what we call professional and business services. And at the exact same time, women were working more in healthcare and in public education, and those are two industries that did just fine through that period. Particularly, healthcare continued to grow, and women make up 75% of healthcare workers. So when we look at this question of how are men and women doing and what is the gender differences, we do get a feel for what's happening slightly below the surface in the overall Alaskan economy. We can see that in the recession, men lost employment at a higher rate than women did. And women, as a result, started to look like they're getting a little bit more ahead. But can you really consider that women are ahead if really the only reason they're ahead is because men took a step back? That's not exactly progress for everyone. And, you know, when we look at the wages that women are making, the fact that they aren't making equal wages to men is an opportunity for the state to extract more value from women workers. They could be doing more and they should be paid more. And as a result, the Alaskan economy would be more diverse and stronger. When, you know, there's a good saying that a rising tide raises all ships. And that would be the case. If women are earning more, it doesn't have to come at men's expense, but it could very definitely make the economy stronger and more stable overall.
Hmm. Well, you may have already answered my next question, but I wanted to ask, what would you hope that readers would take away from your article? Is there any call to action?
Well, the biggest thing that I would hope for readers to take from this article is information. You know, really to be able to see, identify, and talk about the fact that this wage gap is systemic and pervasive. We're seeing it everywhere at like every level of education, as you alluded to before, every age group, every industry, every area of the state, when we break them into regions. The only place where there's some exceptions to men earning more is in occupations. And out of over 800 occupations that we looked at, men were earning more than women in 80% of them. So you really have to get down to some kind of micro levels before you start to see some exceptions. So what I would be hoping for is for people to take this information, look at it, and apply it to their own lives. You know, talk to your organization about men and women's wages and whether or not there's a salary structure in place that does anything to kind of like, think of a good word for this, but basically something to make sure that the wages aren't based off of more arbitrary things like salary negotiation, which is a place where women generally kind of fall off, is they are not as aggressive about asking for promotions or initial salary negotiations. And so as a result of that, longer term, they end up seeing their overall total wages falling as a result. So going back to the main question, what would I hope for people to do with this? I really hope that they take this information, think about it, apply it to their businesses and their lives. Ask more questions, talk about salary more freely, talk about the fact that we truly do have this wage gap and it's not something that like militant feminists made up. This is something that we truly as a society are working with, and that it's advantageous for all of us to find a place where workers are treated equally.
The pay gap exists. It is a thing, and you have the data to prove it. Is there, if you look at things like policy, state legislation, is there any room for improvement there?
You know, there's a number of advocacy groups, such as the Forica Group and YMCA up in Anchorage, that have been working more with organizations, with other businesses, to address the pay gap on kind of a grassroots level. There's always room both for the legislature and for private businesses to take steps forward. Even just public declarations that the wage gap isn't appropriate is movement forward. But I do believe that Alaska actually has a law that says that you can't discriminate on the basis of sex for wages. So, you know, we are taking concrete steps to address that as a state, but part of the issue here is that the wage gap is not simply a result of people deliberately discriminating against women. It's really so much more complicated than that, and we need to take a more nuanced view of it if we're going to look at long-term solving these issues. Issues of like occupational selection and the fact that 75% of registered nurses are women, but they make less than men. What are those men doing as registered nurses that makes them more valuable? Are they doing something, or are they being paid more for a different reason? You know? Another question there is, why are only 2% of construction workers women. That's, you know, that's a selection issue. Why don't women want to work in construction? Are there reasons outside of just predilection that are driving those occupational selection choices?
Ooh, that could send us off in a whole different direction, Karina. That could be a whole other interview. But speaking of that, what will you be writing next? Where do you go from here with your research?
Well, actually, the next thing that I'm working on is a little bit different from this. I'm going to be working, publishing an article looking at seafood processing through the pandemic and how they have fared with some of the different constraints on that industry since COVID hit and early to 2020. But specific to the gender, I've done a number of studies in the last couple of years that are really interesting that I think people could look back to. One was published in the spring where we took a good look at that recessionary period from 2015 to 2018 and really test out what men and women were doing and how they were affected differently by those job losses that I alluded to earlier. And a couple of years before that, I took a good look at occupations and wages by educational requirements. So looking at jobs that don't require any education past a GED, what occupations are those or a diploma? What occupations are there and how are they being compensated and who's holding those jobs? The ones that are less than a GED or a high school diploma are interesting because in Alaska, that includes a range of retail workers, but it also includes a handful of oil and gas occupations where they're being paid more than 100 grand a year with very low education requirements. So that's another one that we took a look at. Maybe 4 or 5, 6 years ago, one of my coworkers wrote an article about non-traditional roles for men and women and how much historically we've been changing that. So think about jobs that are historically female or male dominated and over the last couple of decades have kind of translated into a more diverse workforce. So we actually have a lot of good research out there. I'm not sure what the next step is going to be for diving into this, but I'm probably going to try to take more controls and what I mean by that is control the data for some other caveats and start to say, okay, well, what if we only look at people who have been in their current position for 2 or 3 years? What if we only look at people who graduated from the UA system after 2000? What are they doing in Alaska? That kind of a thing, so that we can start to look at lower levels of this. And again, try to get to where does that wage gap start to narrow or disappear?
Interesting stuff. Karina Wiebold from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, thank you so much for talking to us about your article in Trends Magazine, available around town and online at labor.alaska.gov/trends. Anything else before we say goodbye today, Karina?
I appreciate your time. I hope that we get to come back and talk about some of our trends articles in the future. And I would encourage folks, women in particular, look at this data, get a little fired up, but don't just get angry, you know, talk about it, think about it, do something about it, work within your own organizations and try and take this data somewhere.
Thank you so much. Great words, Karina. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
Honey, I work so hard for my money and I leave my babies at home. Breaking my back, trying to bring home.
UAS's Evening at Egan continues with a lecture this week about tribal sovereignty and the interrelationships between tribes.